at the Crack Lab in UCC, they work and they deal with and they research mould, and they work alongside the Aspen Society in advising on it. John Sadeau, good morning, sir.
And good morning to you, PJ.
Mould. John, do we have... First of all, I heard years ago we have a number of types of very toxic mould in this country. Is that true?
Yes, it does depend on the individual, I think, as Sarah was saying. The fungal spores themselves are small. And I often talk to you about the traffic problems and the small particles called PM2.5. Well, effectively, they're chemicals. But the biologicals, like fungal spores, are also, if you like, PM2.5. So they can get down into the respiratory system, and they contain biological materials, obviously, and we can be allergic to them. But they're particles as well. So I'm not convinced that not all of them are actually we're allergic to or can cause a health problem. And but just by coincidence, I'd written a report for the EPA on new methods for detecting pollen and mould spores in the air when I saw you run around the quad last week. And so with the story, it's not unusual in damp buildings with poor ventilation, lots of people, kids, let's say, to show these areas of fungal paint on the walls that look like a Jackson Pollock in green and black. But what happens is when they release their spores, because this mould feeds off any surface, like walls and window frames and old books and sculptures. Mm. And that's why museums are normally air-conditioned, restrict visitor numbers, and have got expensive filtration systems. Yeah. And all the ventilation system, I guess, that the school has are windows to open. And you can have problems with that, because if you buy a busy traffic road, then you let the emissions in. Yeah. So be careful.
Is it the case that the weather we've been having, where, as I put it to Sarah, the weather actually doesn't realize what it's trying to do at the moment? It doesn't know what it is from one end of the week to the other. Is that conducive to the growth of mold?
There's a general few rules for their growth. They're like us, as I say. We and they are biological in nature, and they don't like it too hot and too cold. But unlike us, they love humidity, and that they also quite like dark places. So effectively, if you're going to try to get rid of it, you can't really have damp buildings. They've got to be well ventilated as well, and they've got to have Goldilocks temperatures. You know, not too hot, not too cold. And a school like the one that you're saying, I mean, probably has overcrowded spaces, narrow corridors in places. Presumably that's why they're getting a new extension built, because they may well be overcrowded. I don't know. And that releases lots of water vapor. And the dampness, the humidity, is a real grower for spores that can come off of the fungal paint.
How can we, at home particularly, John, how can we avoid spores or keep them down at least? Because there's a patch of mould in every house, I guess.
Yeah, well, first off, don't dry damp clothes on radiators. That releases the humidity, and then, you know, it depends where you're living, of course. Keep things well ventilated. The ideas that I heard, I think the way that the school is trying to cure it, it's not great long term to simply paint over the problem. You do have to go to the root cause. Sometimes, you know, that's very expensive, and presumably if they do get a new building, then, you know, that these problems will be minimized. It's not just spores, though. As Sarah was saying, it's pollen too that can come in, because you can open the windows and let in pollen. And I want to give you the story first, though, is that finally Ireland is doing its own pollen counting.
You mentioned this to me at the Quad. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all thanks to a Douglas lad who's called Dave O'Connor. He's a lecturer in Dublin Institute of Technology, and he used to be in Crack. And he set up a network in Dublin, Carlow, and last week I helped set up a bit of kit on top of the Environmental Research Institute on the Lee Road. So finally, that we got some information on Irish pollen. Mm. And if you want to see more, this is the advert for your listeners. There's a Twitter page called at Irish pollen, so you can get things. The muddles will be coming along soon. It is a pilot scheme, but it shouldn't, at the moment, of course, replace. Mm. What you can see maybe on the Asthma Society page, which has information, and there's also a couple of other things. But beware of this, because I was listening to a competitor of yours, Classic Hits 4FM or something, the other day, and they gave out a pollen report that was high. And at the same time, I've been looking at the Asthma Society page, which is based on measurements, but in the UK, which gave it as low.
Amazed, though, John, and I know you've said this to me before, that in a country that has such an obsession with the weather, and where we have weather stations, or we think we have weather stations all over the place, why have we been traditionally getting our pollen counts from the UK?
It's expensive to do it. That's why I was talking about the report that we've been doing for the EPA on new methods of monitoring pollen. The old methods, a couple of years back, I told you, really are caveman. That is, you get an air sample blowing in to a bit of sticky tape that's on a rotating drum that goes round, and after 7 days, you take it back to the lab and get a microscope out. So you've got to be really pretty good at identifying pollen and counting these things. It's only a portion. Now, other countries, Switzerland, UK, Germany, France, they all do it. We used to do it some 20 years ago, 30 years ago, for my Aaron, but the money went. And so that's it. It's money.
Okay. All right, John. Always good to chat with you. John Sadow at the Crack Lab at UCC. I have to say that's one of the funniest names for a lab, because it always brings up sort of images of Breaking Bad.